Robbie on Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe in for Robbie Stanley this morning, alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic. Broadcasting live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live, presented by Superbook Sports. We say hello now to Mr. Jared Stillman. Stillman and Company, weekdays 2 to 6 here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Hello, Jared. How we doing?
Good morning, good morning.
All right, so Jared versus Joe yesterday. I know Joe won, and you're probably not happy about that. But
what did you think of that verdict?
I thought it was close. So,
non-committal.
Mm-hmm. You know,
it was actually a very peaceful. We didn't really yell at each other. But what was the? I mean, Caroline was right on the deciding factor. Oh yeah, Jared's worried that.
Rand Carthon might want Jimmy G over Tannehill.
Yeah. Jared's worried that Rand Carthon is going to try to bring Jimmy G here. Like, no, he's not.
I got that idea from John McClain. And I, you know, here's my thing on Tannehill. I ranked the quarterbacks in the league. I put Tannehill 14th. Now, I took the injured guys out of it. So, like, Kyler Murray and Matthew Stafford, I didn't include. But not that Murray would have been ahead of Tannehill anyways for me. But I've ranked him 14th in the league, well ahead of Garoppolo. I think Garoppolo stinks. But if I've learned anything, it is that everybody outside of Nashville thinks that Tannehill sucks. And so, you know, I think it's because they don't watch enough of the Titans games. And I think Vrabel wants to run it back with Tannehill. And I don't think Rand Carthon's going to die on the hill on the first day of the job for Jimmy Garoppolo. But it goes back to the factor that a lot of people out there think that Tannehill stinks, and maybe Rand Carthon's one of them. Clearly, John McClain's one of them, who's like, oh, yeah, no, they'd be better off with Jimmy Garoppolo or something like that than Tannehill. So I just worry that the guy from the Niners might want somebody that he trusts a little bit more than Tannehill, because the consensus outside of here is that Tannehill stinks.
But I mean, they've been doing all they can to not have Jimmy G be their quarterback.
I mean, and for a guy that doesn't have full final say because it's a collaboration, I mean, he and Vrabel have to agree on that if you believe everything that you hear.
Right, which could – that's why I said, you know, I don't think it's going to be the hill that he dies on, but it also would – I also wouldn't rule it out that it's like, you know, Mike, trust me, I really, really, really believe in Jimmy. And you brought up the fact that, you know, the Niners did everything in their power to get rid of Garoppolo, and that is true, except for the fact that it's not about Garoppolo versus Tannehill when it came to the Niners. It was Garoppolo versus Lance. I mean, it's not like the Niners were prepared to go in the season with Lance, Nate Sudfeld, and Brock Purdy, because they weren't going to pay Jimmy $25 million or whatever it was. And then when Jimmy decided to take the reduced contract, it was, okay, now Jimmy's the backup. But they still had Jimmy ahead of Brock Purdy. And so it's not like they thought Jimmy was terrible or Jimmy was some bum that he couldn't be on the team. They just wanted Trey Lance more than Jimmy. So if the question is, okay, Shanahan looked at it like, I want Trey Lance over Jimmy and I want to do everything for Trey Lance to succeed, that's kind of why they tried to kick Jimmy out of there, and maybe not compared to Tannehill.
Yeah, but anyway, you lost because it's really not a concern, and Vrabel likes Tannehill. Like Vrabel, you can talk about whatever the rest of the NFL thinks about Tannehill, and I mean, I love John McClain, but you know that first of all, that's still different. Media is still a lot different than personnel people, right? We talked about this yesterday. Certainly, Mike Sando talks to at least a couple people who also think very little of Ryan Tannehill, but Vrabel doesn't. Right? I mean, Vrabel does not at all. And I think if Vrabel's got to be of the same mindset, which is if you're going to go with a guy like this, you have one in place who already leads your locker room. He's under contract and he's better. Like, I don't think it's going to take him more than if Rand Carthon has a different idea there, probably more than like a few seconds to like lay that out for him. This is you going on a tangent on an unfounded concern and creating an issue where there isn't one.
No, I'm just saying that John McClain said it, and I just said on the show that, hey, if Rand Carthon walks in on the first day and says to Vrabel, hey, I want Jimmy G over Tannehill, like, this whole, like, collaboration's going to have problems. That's all I said.
Yeah, a big fight over Jimmy G. I think that's going to take down the whole franchise. The big fight over Jimmy G. We must have Jimmy G!
I mean, You act like people around the league, Mike Sando's quarterback tiers are all done by people inside the league, right?
Uh-huh.
There's not media people voting on this. There's not fans voting on this. Mike Sando, every July, puts out his quarterback tiers, in which league executives are the ones who vote on this. Coaches and executives, right?
Yep. We just talked about that. But
okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And they voted Jimmy G ahead of Tannehill last year.
Again, there are definitely there are some GMs in this league who think very little of Ryan Tannehill.
I mean, we live in a world.
No doubt about that.
We live in a world where the New England Patriots lose Josh McDaniels. He goes to Denver. He gets rid of Jay Cutler. Why? Because he wanted Matt Cassel. He wanted his guy. Instead, Scott Pioli and Romeo Crennel ended up trading for Matt Cassel in a deal that Mike Vrabel was involved in. And then, 10 years later, McDaniels goes to the Raiders, and he gets rid of Derek Carr, and they're going to either bring in Brady or Jimmy Garoppolo. People trust people they know in this league. And I know Vrabel's got to say, and I know Vrabel likes Tannehill. But I would not rule it out. John McClain, I think, brought up a good point. I would not rule it out that Rand Carthon might feel more comfortable with Garoppolo than Tannehill. You act like everybody thinks like you do. That is, everybody thinks that Jimmy sucks and Tannehill's better, which
That's
is what
I
think.
That's not
but
at all
what I
said.
Don't think everybody else thinks that, Joe.
No, it's not what I said, but I know what Vrabel thinks. And I have a feeling that's going to matter moving forward.
I mean, again, if Vrabel has the final say, sure. But if it's a collaboration and Rand Carthon is like, trust me, Mike, I know on the first day, I know Jimmy's the better quarterback. I know we can get a deal with Jimmy. I know, you know, then all of a sudden, what does Vrabel do? Does Vrabel force the issue on the first day at the quarterback position?
It's a hell of a wrestling match on day one. I'm here for it. I think Trey Lance is a better thing to talk about.
So I went back and I watched Trey Lance last night, like all of the snaps that he
took. Jared's film room?
Oh, hashtag Jared's film room was open.
Nice.
Well, I didn't like watch the film. I just watched like the game tape, you know, or the TV tape, you know, just watching just to see. And it was crazy because I texted Coach Shoup last night and I was like, does San Francisco run a bunch of RPOs? And he texted back, no. And I said, because everything they ran with Trey Lance was an RPO. Every play was an RPO. It was either, you know, and they would do all these crazy things. Like they would hand it off to Deebo Samuel and, you know, they would have Lance, you know, fake it one way and go the other. And then as soon as Lance broke his ankle and Jimmy Garoppolo came in the game, all those RPOs went away. Obviously not going to run them with Jimmy G, which shows you how, unlike Todd Downing, you know, Kyle Shanahan can adjust on the fly like anybody else. But it was not a traditional offense that they were running with Trey Lance, which makes me think that if you go the route of Trey Lance, that your offense has to be something kind of like a Lamar Jackson offense, kind of what the Titans should have done with Malik Willis but didn't do with Malik Willis with Todd Downing calling the plays. So I don't know, you know, if Vrabel's going to want to do that, if he's going to want to embrace the whole RPO thing constantly, or if the RPOs were called by Shanahan the whole time. They ran the ball a lot with Lance. If that was to protect Lance from how limited he might be. I don't know the answer to that, but I did like Trey Lance in that first preseason game he played against Green Bay where he uncorked a couple of rockets down the field to wide-open guys. And again, if I could get Shanahan as part of the deal, I think I would love that. Unfortunately, I don't think that's going to happen.
So I want to ask you this, because, I mean, we agree that when John Robinson was hired as the GM, Floyd obviously made a phone call and had some input on that. If you listen to the Jeff Fisher interview yesterday, Caroline's last question, did you call the Titans? Did they call you? He said, I can't answer that. That pretty much tells you everything you need to know. So how big of an influence do you think Jeff Fisher was on this hire?
I don't know how much of an influence Jeff Fisher was. Rand Carthon had been up for a bunch of jobs, and it feels like the Titans interviewed every minority candidate that had been up for other jobs. So I don't know, like, if they had just decided, okay, here's all the candidates we're going to interview. And then they looked at the resume. And obviously when you see that he worked for the Rams, you know, you call Jeff Fisher. I don't know, you know, Dave McGinnis is in that building and I obviously have a lot of respect for Coach Mack. I don't know if he was the one that said, hey, you guys got to try, you know, you guys got to call Rand Carthon up. I mean, my guess is that if I was going to hire someone to be general manager, I'd call every single person that I knew that that person ever knew. I mean, when we hired Caroline, I called Mike Golic Jr. because in the job interview, Caroline kept talking about Golic Jr. over and over and over again. So I called Golic Jr. I was like, hey, and, you know, gave a glowing recommendation about Caroline. Like, I just want to know, like, what kind of person was she? And so I'm sure the Titans called Jeff Fisher on that. I don't know. Hard for me to say, like, did Jeff Fisher call Amy Adams Strunk the day that John Robinson got fired and said, you've got to go with Rand Carthon? That I don't know. And we'll never know until, you know, 7-10 years down the road when everybody gets fired. Speaking of Robinson, did you guys see the ESPN.com article on the top rookie classes in the NFL?
I can't say that I did.
Nope.
Titans ranked fourth, according to ESPN's analytics, whatever. You know I don't care about that, but I know you do, Joe. The Titans rookie class ranked fourth in the NFL last year. Just throw that out there. ESPN put that out last night.
No, look, the two COVID-affected drafts are going to look like outliers. You know, that's why I said I would, if it was right now, which it should have been, John Robinson's job up for evaluation. If I were in charge, I would not have fired him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I think we're all in agreement on
Robbie,
that.
Robbie said he would have. Jared, you?
Yeah, I was thinking about this today, you know, bringing this story up, and I'm like, you know, I don't want to sit there rain on Rand Carthon's parade, but then again, you know, it is what it is. I would not have fired Robinson. I think they won too much. I think they would have won the division if they had not fired Robinson. And I know there's going to be people that are, what do you mean? It would have had nothing to do with it. Derrick Henry fumbled that ball. You know what I mean? But
God, I hate to agree with you.
I think they would have won the division if Robinson had still been the general manager. I think they would have won against the Chargers. Because I think Staley could have played Vanderbilt, and he would have found a way to poop his pants in that game. There's no way around it. And so I think the Titans would be playing this weekend, and we'd look at it as, man, look at all the problems with this team, and Robinson's got to do a better job drafting, but Burks and Chig came along, and, you know, Vrabel, he coached them up and in the divisional round, and bring on the Chiefs, who they already went to overtime with earlier. You know, like, that's what I think would be going on here. And my guess is they fired him when they fired him, because either Amy Adams Strunk lied and absolutely went crazy when A.J. Brown went nuts on them, or she knew, like, okay, this is the low point right here. Let's fire him now because we don't want there to be a high point on the other side of this. Whereas, you know, I think that the team was starting to sink a little bit into a hole, and she threw a stick of dynamite in there when she fired him in the middle of the season. To answer your question, I would have stayed with Robinson.
So
even after everything.
I'm going to say this before we let you go. You know, and you know this, Jared. This organization's made some boneheaded moves in their history, and they've gotten what they deserved out of it. I think firing John when they did was a boneheaded move because I think it wrecked the season or contributed to it, I should say. I think they might luck into something with this hire with Rand Carthon. And it's got to play out. But if that happens, that would probably be – the first time that they've made a dumb move and actually luck into it being a good move.
Yeah, I mean, I accused the Titans of running a sham GM search the other day, and obviously I was wrong about it because it feels like they ran a real search.
Yeah, why did you do that?
Why did I? Because everybody thought they were going to hire Ryan Cowden because
ooh,
the timing.
Why?
No, you better let me finish, Joe, before you start getting all Joe on me. Because the interview process, they were already doing second interviews before they had finished the first interviews. They ended up interviewing Malik Boyd and announcing that they interviewed him at 2:41 on Tuesday. And then they had a general manager hired before 5 o'clock on Tuesday. You know, that kind of felt like, okay, wait a minute. Garofolo at 1 p.m. is putting out that they've already advanced to the final round with Rand Carthon, Ian Cunningham, and Ryan Cowden, and Malik Boyd hadn't even technically interviewed yet. And so that kind of felt shammy. And then all of a sudden after that, they put out there, I want to say it was Albert Breer, put out that Ian Cunningham had his second interview on Saturday. So Ian Cunningham has made it to the second round on Saturday before Malik Boyd is even interviewed. I mean, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And it's like I told Ian yesterday. Amy Adams Strunk woke up on Tuesday morning. They had not interviewed Malik Boyd of the Bills yet. You think she knew who she was going to hire if she hired somebody at 5 o'clock on Tuesday? I do. How long do you think it takes to negotiate a general manager contract? I bet it takes longer than 2 hours.
Well, they still. That's why we haven't talked to them. We're not talking to them until tomorrow. They didn't announce it until yesterday. But well, that's some interesting detective work there, Inspector Jared.
I mean, doing the Chase, back me up on this. You do that T work about second round of interviews happening before they finish the first round. Doesn't, you know?
Well, right. You're right that she obviously knew who she wanted to hire, but yeah. You took it to sham interviews.
I mean,
you took it beyond.
We'll go back to the Brian Flores, Brian Daboll text, right? Belichick texts Brian Daboll or Brian Flores and says, "Congratulations, I think you're going to get the Giants job." And Flores is like, "I haven't even interviewed for the job yet." And Belichick's like, "Oh, whoops, I thought I was texting Brian Daboll. I texted Brian Flores." And if, again, at that point in time, before we knew they were going to hire Rand Carthon, all signs were pointing to them hiring Ryan Cowden, which made it look like, oh, they already had made up their mind and they're just interviewing these people.
But there were no signs. That's my problem. We can go back.
Chase,
I'm actually with Jared.
What were the signs other than the timing he's talking about? I mean, there were no Cowden signs. What were the signs?
He had the interim tag for one. Okay. Which
had to have the interim tag. He
not
was
necessarily.
The number two.
At that point in the season, what does the GM do?
Joshua Dobbs. That worked out okay for him.
Yeah. Was that him or was that Vrabel?
I mean, you have to still have someone doing that job, don't you, in the season?
For a team that gets guys hurt.
You have Vin Marino that figures out the numbers and how it works with the cap.
The second that Monty Ossenfort accepted the Cardinals job, that's when it put it into high gear that I think the Titans had already made up their mind on their GM search. Because, I mean, again, all things equal, if I could pick between the Titans job or the Arizona job where I'm stuck with Kyler Murray, I'm going to take the Titans job. And for Ossenfort to take that Cardinals job after interviewing here, it told me that he wasn't getting this job. And that, you know how these things work, right? It's like NBA player requests a trade at 2 o'clock. At 2:15, Adrian Wojnarowski tweets out that another NBA team and that NBA team are working on a deal. At 2:40, the deal's done, and there's three teams involved, and 8 players and 27 draft picks are going in different directions. So when Ossenfort took the Cardinals job, that told me that I think the Titans had kind of made up their mind.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with Jared on this.
Okay.
I got to be honest.
You can both be wrong together. Yeah. Sounds good.
You know, that's fine. Jared, appreciate it, and we'll be listening at 2 o'clock.
Watch that clock, Chase.
I know.
It's your fault.
I know. I'll have to talk to myself in the break about this. We will react to some of that coming up next because I do have a thought that I agree with Jared. We'll do that next. Chase in for Robbie today. Robbie and Rex are 1025-1063 the game. But first, Joe, you have a word on FanDuel.
Ah, yes. FanDuel Sportsbook, of course, folks. It is my personal sportsbook. And it's a big week because, of course, the NFL divisional playoffs are here. So here's what we can do with FanDuel Sportsbook. This is let's call this the no sweat same game parlay for all customers. And it doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or if you have an account, you can get in on this. You get free bets back if your NFL playoff same game parlay does not hit. Of course, what they let you do is combine all your favorite bets for a chance at a bigger payday, so you can combine something. Let's see if I was looking at how about Jags Chiefs. You know, I do like the Chiefs. I hope this is a good game, but I don't think it will be. I also, though, I like Trevor Lawrence over on the passing yards, and I like over in this game in general. I think we are going to have a fun, a little bit more offensively geared game. Now, you can, of course, also bet popular same game parlays that are already made for you. If you're new, join with promo code Joe102, see for yourself why it's America's number one sportsbook. And if you already are on FanDuel, start building that no sweat same game parlay today. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, present Tennessee. 3+ legs, minimum dollar bet required. Refund issued is now double free bets. Expires 7 days after receipt. Max refund, $100. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line, 800-889-9789.
Tune in later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. Pick to Click is presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Visit tjandersonhomes.com to see why they are referred so often, and by Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Robbie and Rexrode, Chase McCabe in for Robbie Stanley this morning with Joe Rexrode and Michelle Knezovic. We will talk some Predators coming up next with Predators assistant coach Dan Lambert. He will join us in just a few minutes. But I'm going to be honest, like, and I know you know we're going to have a different opinion on this. The Malik Boyd part especially kind of felt like that the phone rang and somebody answers and then they go, hey, Malik Boyd is on the line for his interview. And everybody goes, oh, crap, I forgot about that. I forgot we had him on the list. And so it's like you had already made up your mind at that point. I mean, that's really what it kind of felt like.
Well, yeah, that's fine. So they made up their mind. But obviously they made up their mind for someone other than Ryan Cowden, right?
Yeah. And I
think there's always candidates in these. Like there's always a candidate or two who is just, whether it's like thrown in or even it's just like, wow, really like these two, and I don't see anybody pitting past them after you do the interview. That sure happens all the time, right?
Yeah. I mean, so did you think Ryan Cowden ever had a shot?
Or yes. No, for sure. I didn't understand the whole, clearly it's going to be Cowden, you know?
I mean, honestly, what I think happened is going into it, Vrabel's a creature of habit. Vrabel is loyal. And yes, John brought in Cowden, but Cowden doesn't even get the interim tag if Vrabel's not cool with it, I think, at that point, because you basically decided that, okay, we're going to, whether he wants all the power or not, he's going to have more say in this. And so I think that maybe the thought was, okay, Cowden's going to be the front runner going into this. We'll go through the process and then go from there. And I've seen situations where you have an internal person that you think, okay, they're going to get it, and then somebody from the outside blows you away, and you know, I'd be stupid not to bring them in here. Now I need to figure out how I can have both people, you know, be a part of this team. And I just wonder if that's what happened. If maybe they thought, all right, you know, we could stick with what we have, because if you deduce that the drafting wasn't what got Robinson fired, it was the trade. You put the COVID drafts aside, because as I said, I think he could have survived that if he doesn't trade A.J. Brown. Then Ryan Cowden, I think, has a good shot of getting the job.
Yeah, well, I think had he gotten the job, though, then I think that would have said it was John over here on an island, and it wasn't everybody else. And I don't know that that's the case. I mean, yeah, the trade, yes. And the trade's number one. They're still in it, but there was an accumulation of things,
sure,
that led to this, you know, them going the wrong direction, right?
They all factor in, but the nail in the coffin was the trade.
Yeah, no, yeah.
And then
yeah,
getting, you know, absolutely destroyed by him. So
right,
that was it. Coming up next, we'll get to Preds assistant coach Dan Lambert. He's going to join us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Chase in for Robbie today, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe in for Robbie Stanley today. Predators back in action tonight. They will take on the St. Louis Blues. I'll actually have pregame coverage for you starting at 6 o'clock here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and say hello to Predators assistant coach Dan Lambert, who has been nice enough to join us. Coach, how you doing? Okay, there we go. Now we got him. Coach, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing well, thank you. How are you guys doing?
Doing fantastic. Going into St. Louis tonight, riding a two-game win streak, and the nice thing is most of your games this month are at home now that you've wrapped up that five-game road trip. but got one little quick getaway tonight in St. Louis. What have you seen out of your club, though, against Calgary and Columbus, those two back-to-back wins?
Well, you know, first of all, I think, you know, we'd be lying if we didn't say we got great goaltending in both those games, specifically later on in the second half of the game or specifically in the third period. I thought our goalies really stepped up. I don't know if it was fatigue or what set in, but we certainly didn't have third periods that we wanted. But, you know, in saying that, we found a way to win, and we never apologize for that.
Yeah, no doubt. And obviously, like you said, Dan, you know, of course, UC Saros has been Vezina level. I'd say he's probably arguably been the best goalie in the league for about 2 months now. But Kevin Lankinen, I don't know that he's getting enough attention for how consistently good he's been. You look at his numbers, and they're right there as well. Would you say that it's, at this point, is he a pleasant surprise to you guys?
Yeah, he really is. He really has been. I mean, first and foremost, Kevin Lankinen is an unbelievable pro. You know, he shows up every day with a smile on his face and really works diligently every single day, whether he's playing or not playing. And I think him and UC have a really good relationship, which I'm sure helps. And they push one another. You know, it's one of those things where you love to see that as coaches, because they work so well together. And you're absolutely right. He has, every game he's played, he's given us a chance to win.
We're talking to Predators assistant coach Dan Lambert. The stats for Cody Glass may not pop out at you on paper, but when you've watched him in his game and how he's grown as an NHL player, what do you see out of him?
Well, you know what? It's funny. Cody, I coached against him in junior hockey, and he was a fantastic player. And you're starting to see that now. And I think the struggle, some of the struggles were just the fact that his injuries that he got in his first year pro and near the end of his junior career. And then, it really affected his psyche and his game overall. Now you're starting to see his speed. You're starting to see his playmaking ability, and it's really great to see. You know, Cody's been through tough times, and now he's working through it. And he's, we're thrilled to see him play at the level that he's playing right now.
And obviously, Danny had to, you've got to be able to play on both ends of the ice. And I know John Hines has talked about that a little bit, about sort of the process of getting him there and really putting him into some really tough matchups, and he seems to be handling that well. What's the work required, or what did it take for him to get to that point where he could play a complete game?
Well, I think that he, first of all, I think confidence was a big thing for him. I think early on in the season when we challenged him with those minutes, those situations, I think he struggled. He wasn't convinced that he was ready for that. And now I think through the work, through the, giving him other opportunities, he's been able to work through it. And now he's done a fantastic job. And now he's in a position where we feel like we can play him against anybody. And he's been up to the task. So it's been great to see.
Yeah, and sticking with the theme of young players, Juuso Parsson in 18 points in 30 games in his NHL career. We've seen him contribute both in goal scoring, but really being kind of an assist master. But do you feel like that after maybe his first month in the league, that's where things kind of settled down for him and you really got to see what kind of a player he could be?
Yeah, I mean, he's, being from Finland and this being his first year in North America, he's adapted to the game very well here in North America. And obviously, he's learning on a daily basis. I mean, you can tell that his work ethic is amazing every single day, not just on the ice, but off the ice as well in the gym. He's really well put together. And I think that every game, it seems like he's understanding, okay, I can hang on to pucks a little longer. I can make plays. I think his game is only going to progress. And a big part of that is just his every day the way he comes to the rink. He's a great young man, and his habits are truly one of a great professional. And I think that, you know, with that attitude, his game is just going to continue to progress.
So, Dan, I know the power play, you know, has had, you know, ups and downs after a really tough start. But where do you think it is right now, and what's it going to take to, you know, to get it close to what it was last season?
So we look at 10-game segments, and the 10-game segment previously, so I think that was about 3 or 4 games ago, our power play had been really good in that segment. In this segment, it hasn't been as good. Last game, we really struggled. We struggled with our execution. We struggled with our battle level. And those are things that, you know, when you play a lot of games and not a lot of practice time, sometimes things can get off the rails a little bit. And certainly, we need it to be better tonight. We know that. And the power play guys know that. And they have a lot of pride. And I'm sure that we're going to bounce back here from a night that, like I said, we really had troubles with execution. We weren't able to get any ozone time. So tonight, you know, it's going to be a big part of our focus. And I believe that our guys are going to find a way to be better.
Dan Lambert is with us. And, you know, we saw that 5-game road trip. It's hard to be, you know, on the road that long. But, you know, players will tell you that there's good bonding time. How different is it when you have one of these just up and backs, quick overnight, and kind of break the home schedule up?
Yeah, I mean, it's sometimes it's not a bad thing. You know, and I think the challenge right now is I believe we're in 6 games in 9 nights. And so we've played a lot of hockey. So this up and back is probably not an ideal time right now for us. But in saying that, it's the NHL, you know, there are a lot of games. There's every team goes through it where you have stretches in the schedule where you play tons of games, and this is one of them for us. So we've just got to find a way to make some hay here while the sun is shining. You know, we have a break coming up, so we've got to play some real good hockey against some good teams in the next week or so.
Well, Coach, best of luck tonight. We will be watching. Thanks so much for doing this morning, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
You too. Dan Lambert, Predators assistant coach, joining us. You'll hear from a coach every Thursday morning at 7:30 here on Robbie and Rex Road. I'll have pregame for you tonight at 6 o'clock. And, you know, this, I think we're at the time of year, Joe, where they're all big. They're all important. You got to get those 2 points. But St. Louis is right there in the same position that you are as the Predators. They know they need to go take care of business tonight, make this 3 in a row.
Yeah, and it's funny because, of course, I mean, I thought it was going to be St. Louis and the Preds this year battling for the second spot in the Central.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's really what I thought. I mean, I thought the Preds would be second or third, and it would be St. Louis with them. And instead, you know, right now, of course, they're right now they're in the 5 and 6 spots. And of course, the Preds with a point up and a game in hand. But these are, as David Poile likes to call them, the 4-point games.
They are, and actually, I sat down with David Poile yesterday. You'll hear that full conversation coming up next week as a part of Chase and Michelle. But, I mean, he used that exact phrase in the interview of that's where we're at in this point of year. And, you know, my takeaway was I think he's puzzled why some of the guys are not having the years that he had hoped they would. I mean, look, I don't think anybody thought Matt Duchene was going to be a 40-goal scorer again, but, you know, 34 points at this point in the season in 43 games, that's obviously a lot lower than you wanted him to be. He hasn't played to the level that he did a few years ago when it was like, what the heck's going on with him? But you were hoping for more. Same with Forsberg. Yossi's kind of been, you know, under his point total too, but that's obviously the frustrating part for him, because I still think, like, if you look at the roster on paper, this roster should be showing more results than they have.
Yeah, and especially when you have the goaltending they've had from both goaltenders.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, UC Saros again, I mean, the thing is, if they don't make the playoffs, how many Vezina winners have there been on non-playoff teams? I'm sure it's
happened. That's a good question.
I'm sure it's happened here or there, I guess, probably, right? I need to look this up now. There's no way it's common, though. You know, I mean, if they don't make it.
I don't know. I mean, think about, you know,
it's not hard
Dominic
to make the playoffs.
Hasek's and, you know, some that.
That's true. Some of those Buffalo teams might not have made the playoffs when he won the Vezina.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
I'd have to go back and look. I mean, that's a really good question.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if you take that out of the equation, these guys are, you know, they're not, I mean, they're not at all a playoff team. So, yeah, I think the expectations were a lot higher. It does kind of make last season look a little bit more. I mean, especially with Duchesne, you brought him up. Like, that's the outlier season for him. I agree with you that Matt Duchesne, it's not like this nightly, what is going on with this guy? Oh, he's a healthy scratch or he's moved here or there. It's not that like it was a couple years ago. But last year does kind of look like the outlier for him here, doesn't it?
Did Winnipeg make it in 2020?
I think so. When Hellebuck won it?
Yeah, they were in the qualifying round.
Yeah. So
that counts.
In theory. Yeah, technically that counts. But, yeah, there's no way it's much, right?
I mean, no. Yeah. We'll look it up for sure. But coming up next, I can't wait. It's time for your rant. The Rex rant is all next here on Robbie and Rex Road. Chase in for Robbie today, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Glorious, and I love it here, I love it there, and I'm victorious.
It's so stupid. It's a terrible song. I mean, I know it was some pro wrestling song, but like, enough.
Need to clip that up, that's for sure. Play that many times in the future.
Please don't.
Would be great.
No, what happens in the 6 o'clock hour is not clippable. That should be a rule on this show.
Oh, I love that so much. Back here, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe in for Robbie Stanley today. Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here as well. And it is time for the Rex Rant. Here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. I'm going to agree with you. It's time to retire this. And this is from the wrestling fan, the Preds fan. Like, it's time to do something different.
It's a bad song. They didn't play it. They did not play it Monday. I don't believe. Now, did they play
it? I don't know. I didn't go.
Did they play it at the end? That's the problem. Then you go downstairs for post game, and I know that they have played it before, like when they're bringing out the three stars. So I don't know if they did that. But they did not play it going into the third period. So that's progress. Let's keep it that way.
They know you're in the press conference. Look, that's why.
If we're going to stay with the wrestling themes, which I am totally on board with as a pro wrestling fan, I think they need to use Seth Rollins' new theme because the fans can interact with it because that's kind of part of
the thing.
I have
no idea who
he is. I know. It's way over your head.
About.
It's way over your
head. Is he related to Henry Rollins? Because
there's
a Henry Rollins
song,
that'd
be
cool.
That's not even his real name. I think his name's like Joey or something like that. But
okay.
Kobe. That's what it is, Kobe.
His name's Kobe, and he changed it to Seth Rollins?
Colby's
a much cooler.
Colby. Oh,
okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, all right. I was going to say, that's a Colby. Cooler name. Go with the cooler actual name you have.
Rant away.
Yeah, before I get into this, I think I've got an answer, by the way. So, Roy Waters. Played for the New York Americans as the. Now this is according to a story on.
Michelle is a big Americans fan.
They were big back in the day, and then 30s, back in the good old Depression, the New York Americans.
Did you cover them, Joe? Had to.
Nice. Hey, you know what?
That's before the Boomers.
I deserve that. No, Sergei Bobrovsky almost won it in 2013 for a non-playoff team. So there's a story here in the Edmonton Journal about how he could be the first since Roy Waters, 1930-31, which was a 10-team NHL. He won the Vezina with a non-postseason team. So there you go. It does not happen. So basically, if you want to talk about UC Saros winning the Vezina this year.
You know what? Actually, they didn't. I was looking at the wrong year. They didn't make the playoffs.
Oh, 2013 did not.
2012, 2013, Columbus Blue Jackets did not make the playoffs.
Okay, so there you go. So
you
it
know
is
who
possible.
The head coach was? Todd Richards.
Todd Richards. There you go. How about that? So one in now, one in 90 years now that's happened. So for the most part, you better make the playoffs if you want your goalie to win the Vezina. Now, today I may have ranted about this before, okay? I think we've gotten to the point where there is some rant cycling going on. But you know what?
That's okay.
It hit me the other day as I was looking at some young men who have this damn hairstyle, which has got to be the worst thing I've ever seen. And have I ranted about this?
I don't really know where
you've
you're going.
Ranted about your son using your hair products.
I'm not going to specify who the young man or men may be, okay? They will shall remain unnamed. These kids look like they killed a damn possum or a poodle and put it on top of their heads. And I know that I'm just the old guy.
A little perm up there.
It's the stupid. Yeah, the thing is, like, there's points in time where you look back at pictures and you'll always know, that must have been about 1973. Like, everyone, it was like post, I guess, hippie hair in the 70s. Like, every man had long hair, but yeah. It was like this certain look, and I guess it kind of went with the clothes too. You had like the puke green pastels and stuff. It was like totally
the
70s.
Big collars.
Yeah, like the 70s, they will always stand out as like, what were people doing then, you know?
A lot of drugs.
But like, well, that may be true.
A lot of acid.
But like, this is what happens with young people. Obviously, there's just, I was part of it. We've all been a part of it to some extent. Like the conformity to whatever, somehow something emerges as a trend and then everyone does it. This epidemic of these kids with this big, just ridiculous looking mop on their heads. Like, I just, like, they will look back at these pictures 20 years from now and be like, dude, what was I doing? I mean, I think over other stretches of time, sure, you had the mullet, which is kind of coming back too. You know, like, you had the mullet, you had the 80s. You had, actually, I think women's hair in the 80s, there was some special.
There were some perms.
I mean, there was some ozone busting hairspray going on, right? Yeah.
Big bangs, big front bangs.
Sure. So it's a constant thing. But this one in particular to me is like, did we get to the point in human history where it's like, there's nothing else stupid we could do with hair? Let's try this one. Where did it start? Who started it? How did it catch fire?
Poodle
and why
started
won't it.
It
go away? I mean, maybe it wasn't actually a poodle that was like fell off a building onto someone's head. I don't know.
I need to see a picture. I think I know what you're talking about, but I need to see a picture of this.
Oh, go to any high school. I mean, just go to any high school. And
so are you talking, because I've seen the ones where it's like perm on top and shaved on the side.
Yes.
That's what you're talking about. Okay.
Okay. Yes.
Some will actually, I know a friend of mine's brother, he will get a perm like to make that, like, I'm like, that's more than I do with my hair.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yes. There's that. Now, a lot of kids don't do that, but they still try to basically have the look. But yeah, basically, you just described it.
It's kind of like a curly mullet on top of your head.
Exactly. It's like a top O head.
So that?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. I mean, you could say. I mean, if you again, it's like it's young. So I mean, it's basically high school age and college age. I think there's quite a bit of it. And it's just incredible, man. Like, I go back over the time, like the fades and the high tops. You know, that kind of, you know, signifies the 80s.
Well,
again,
this is kind
the
of the
mullet.
Patrick Mahomes cut.
Yes, that's true.
So maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, right? Somebody on the text Patrick line
Mahomes.
Said that.
Is it Mahomes? Like, did Mahomes create this? Is he to blame? Because I'm a huge Mahomes fan, but if he's to blame for this, I don't know, man.
He might,
might have
be.
To go for the Jags this weekend. See, it's like, well, it's funny you talk about perms. I mean, and we talk about mullets. I mean, I remember people perming their mullets. Like, the perm mullet was a real thing in about 1988, okay?
And is that where the whole business in the front, party in the back?
Yeah, but it's
really
like
came to fruition?
Yes. So it's like buzz cut, shaved up top, and then just this big flowing mullet that was permed. So, I mean, that's, you know.
Guys' hair, I feel like, go through really drastic stages. Like, I remember when my brother was in high school, it was the frosted tips.
Oh,
like the
yes.
NSYNC, and it was like the bleach. And he was like, Mom, I'm going to get my hair bleached. She's like, what? You're going to get your hair bleached and then gelled and spiked up?
So I never did that. I never did the frosted tips. Like, a bunch of my friends
mm-hmm.
did. But you know what's funny? a lot of the guys that did that, they are bald as a cue ball now.
You think, really? You think there's a
correlation? So Robbie did it. Robbie, speak now or forever hold your peace.
I could totally see Robbie doing the frosted tips.
My goodness, Robbie. If you're listening, Robbie, you just got called out for potentially having frosted tips and potentially that taking your hair away.
When he was hanging out with Taylor Swift, I could totally see that.
There was also the Caesar cut, which was a right. There are just
the rat tail.
I wanted a rat tail. Wasn't allowed to get this is someone who, by the way, and I probably deserve to be ripped for this. Like, I've had the same haircut since fourth grade. Like, basically, my dad took me to a barbershop, and my dad was an Army guy, and it was like, this is not going to be over your ears anymore. It was the early 80s. And I've had the same haircut, like, it has been more than 40 years.
Aren't you thankful for your dad? Because you could have had these pictures of a rat tail out.
Yeah, but I mean, but at the same time, I guess it's kind of boring, you know? But, like, it's okay to change it up a little. Have you changed, like, your style, basically?
Not really. I mean, I've, like, right now it's longer than it usually is. And I've, because I'm kind of growing it out. But, and I tried that a few years ago, and it did not look very good.
You tried what?
Growing my hair out.
Oh, okay. Like long.
Oh, yeah. But it was slicked back, and I kind of had the hockey mullet going.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it was.
I kind of remember that.
Yeah. It was a weird time.
Well, I think you should try this, man.
If you...
Try the Mahomes. Are we calling it the Mahomes?
Let's call it the Mahomes really quick. If you watch the Brady documentary, which I'm watching right now, watching his stages of hair, it's pretty great. I'm at the Justin Bieber stage of
when Brady grew his hair out. Remember when Brady had long hair?
Yeah, right.
There is somebody that works in this building that also did that.
Let me take a guess. He was on earlier.
He starts at 2:00, and it was hilarious.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That happened.
I just Googled this, and apparently it is. It's the Mahomes. So at least it wasn't actually an animal killed to create this trend. So, all right. I mean, it's pretty cool. I mean, Mahomes is pretty cool. So I get it. It looks okay on him. It doesn't look okay on most people.
Coming up next, excited about this, but Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports, is going to begin a weekly here on Robbie and Rex Road for two segments. We'll talk to Charles about the NFL, the Titans, all of that coming up next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.